over the years of being a pastor, there's been numerous times that I've sat in my office or at the table or even in a car with somebody and listened to them. And these people are often people of faith. They've grown up confessing. They would say the 12 articles of our faith with confidence. And yet they've come to something in their lives that has them in an unknown situation, a spiral. There's a lot going on. It's maybe a struggle, maybe sickness, it may be a question, it may be hurt. And these things often don't reach the general news or the bulletins, but as they come out of a person's heart, it comes with a question, a burden. The question often thought is this: does Jesus care? Does Jesus really know my situation so much, so deeply? And if he does know my situation, does he care? It's a question that comes up. It came already. It comes up already during Christ's time on earth in Mark 4, verse 38, which is our text this morning. Really, just these words: "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" It's interesting that God not only allows the question to be asked, but God records it in His Word. God records this question: "Teacher, do you care?" So that we would understand other people have asked the question, but also so that we would understand God answers the question. If we come to Mark 4, it had been a busy day for Jesus. You go back to verse 1 already. He began the day teaching by the seaside. He taught them with parables. Parables that not everybody understood. And the first parable was the parable of the sower. The sower goes out to sow. And we know it well. As he spreads the seed, some of it falls on different soils. And the disciples ask for an explanation, and Jesus gives the four responses to the word. There's the response when the seed falls. There's the response of no fruit. There's the response of short-term fruit. There's the response of fruit that's quickly choked out. And then there's the response of fruit that is real and lasting. And the implied question in the parable is, how do you hear the word? What's the fruit in your life? And Jesus continues teaching through Mark 4. And if we scan those other parables, it's about the kingdom. It's about true faith being revealed and invisible. The seed will grow. The seed will last. And he teaches of faith in the kingdom of God, as it were, the whole day, the entire day. And at the end, he's tired. We read in verse 35, "On the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let's cross over to the other side.' And the light goes down, light's going down. The disciples, verse 36 tells us, leave the multitude, took Jesus in the boat as he was, and they cross over together. And they begin journeying across the lake, rowing or sailing. These ships would have allowed both. But the important thing was the disciples had received Jesus' word and were following through. They were obeying their master. He had given them this command, instruction, and they were doing it. But the lessons of the day aren't over yet. Here was the teacher teaching his followers. He wanted them to understand. He wanted them to follow through. He wanted them to reflect on the impact. He's giving them verbal lessons. But now a test. You see, God wants His followers to learn. God wants His followers to grow in faith. Part of that is knowledge. Part of that is confidence. But it's more than that, because as this knowledge and as this confidence comes into your life, what's going to be the fruit of that? What's going to be the result? Are you going to believe His words? Are you going to bear fruit? And you see, here's where these two things come together. All the teaching comes down on the disciples. And that night, there's a test. And that's the parallel with us. We've received so much teaching. We've received instruction after instruction after instruction. But where does the test come? The test comes in real life situations. Does your knowledge bear fruit? You know it all, but can you live with confidence when the road gets rough? When God leads you into an unknown situation, when you feel alone, when you're hurting, when you cross the dark sea of life, and you don't know what's next, can you live with confidence? You imagine these fishermen going out into the lake with energy. Jesus said, let's go, and they went. But notice in verse 37, a great windstorm arises and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat's full. You know, it could have been a beautiful evening. They went off as they were. That much is clear from the text. No extra preparations. And we all know a calm lake's a beautiful place to be. The Sea of Galilee can be beautiful. The scenery is stunning. The hills and the farms, and there's trees and towns, and the sunsets can be spectacular. But you see what happened? They go out with little expectation of, other than just going to do what Jesus said. But as they cross, as they're listening, there's this windstorm. If it's similar to other windstorms there, the winds come down the hills. Because the lake's surrounded by these hills, it becomes a funnel, and the wind just picks up, drops onto the water, and whips the water into waves. As recent as the 90s, there's records of 10-foot waves on the Sea of Galilee. And that night, as Jesus and the disciples are crossing, there's a great windstorm, a gale, a severe storm. And you imagine being there in that boat? The wind, the fury of the wind, the noise of the water, and the water is just filling the boat. It's coming over the edge, right? And there's no decks on those boats. It's like a big bucket, and the water's coming in and the boat's filling up. And the fishermen are afraid. Undoubtedly trying to bail the water out, trying to stay alive. Realizing that if this trend continues, this boat's going down and they're going down with it. And there lies Jesus. Asleep. Did Jesus not realize the storm? Did Jesus not realize the danger? He would have been wet. And yet there he lay. And the storm keeps pounding the boat, more wind, more water, to the point of destruction. In Luke's record, he says they were in jeopardy. They were about to lose their lives. The boat's full. This is no fake storm. This is no short squall. It's lasting. It's pounding. You know, sometimes when we're in the middle of a struggle of life, it feels like a pounding. We've battled through something before, but maybe this just feels newer and bigger, more intense. And you come to this point when you feel you can't take it anymore, and the cry goes up, "Teacher, do you not care?" It's not just a question that, do you not care that I'm in a storm? No, it's, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we're in jeopardy, Lord? Do you not care that we're going down? Do you not care that we can't handle any more of this? The cry of the disciples rouses Jesus. He hears the name, the title, Master, Teacher. He also hears their accusation. Do you not care? He hears the cry of distrust. He hears the fear. Yes, they approach him as teacher, but they're failing. And in a sense, it's an audacious, bold question. Do you, Lord, not care? It's almost a question of what kind of teacher are you going to be if you're going to let your students perish? What kind of person doesn't care? You know, the Pharisees in Mark 12 accuse Jesus of similar thing. They say, "We know that you don't care for any man." The disciples don't see his burden or his care either. And it comes out as an audacious question. It comes out as a painful question. Do you not care that we, Lord, are perishing? We are your disciples. We've followed you. We listened to you. We got in the boat because you said get in. They don't see that Jesus cared so much for them that he was going not just across the lake for them, but he's going all the way to the cross. He's not a teacher who's a hireling. He's the real teacher, caring for his own, going to give his life for his own. But why then the silence in the storm? Well, this is where the chapter comes together. This is a test. You had the instruction, you had the explanation. Here's the test. Are you going to pass? Have you learned the lesson of faith I was trying to teach you? Have you understood that as the seed falls, not everybody responds to it the same? We think of what we've learned. We have the knowledge. We have the 12 articles of our faith. We have the explanations of those articles. We can believe all the doctrine. We receive the explanations. Catechism class, confession class, Sunday after Sunday. But as you walk out the doors and real life hits, will you pass the test? You see, the disciples' response to this test was the question, do you not care? Right? The doctrine is God's powerful, God cares. The explanation is given in His Word. We're given all these examples. And yet when it comes down to the test of our life, why does the question, why do we write on the test paper, as it were, a question? I know. Sometimes it feels nature takes its course. The storm comes. We break a bone because we tripped and gravity did what gravity does. We crash our car because of momentum and physics and snow and ice. And we suffer disease because of viruses and mutations and reactions. And we hurt because people abuse us and we're sad because no one else understands. And we think that it's all because of other people and it's all because of nature and it's all just because of things coming together. And we separate this and we ask the question. We don't realize that faith is, yes, to be an assured confidence, not just once in a while, not just when I'm sitting in front of the consistory and they're asking me questions, but my faith is to be an assured confidence always, even if I'm in a boat that's going down. And you see, it can feel this way spiritually. Right? It's not just physical things. It can be spiritual things. You feel spiritually dead and you know it, but you blame it on situations or you blame it on a dead heart or you know you're backsliding, but you blame it on work and your schedule and you don't have time for communion with God, or you have nagging fears and you have doubts, but you think that if you express them and if you ever let them come out of your mouth, you're going to be scorned and mocked out of town. And you want to be spiritually alive and you want to have communion with God and you want to live in His presence. But you don't have it. Does Jesus care? And maybe it feels providence is stacked against you and you know the doctrine and you know the explanation. But when it comes to real life, it just feels like one blow after another setback, after another disappointment. Does Jesus care? You may even have sung the hymn out of the depths of your heart. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there's no relief, though my tears flow all night long? Why do we write a question mark on the test paper God gives us? But friends, Jesus is not just sleeping in the sense of not knowing. He knows. He told them to cross. He's in the same boat as they are. They're with Him. He knows, and yes, He's silent, but His silence is to see if the disciples live by faith and not by sight. Because look, He does care. Verse 39. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. You see, God has power over His creation. He rebuked it, and it stopped doing what the creation was doing. Christ wasn't blaming the sea and the wind. No, He's changing its activity. He's just giving it its next instruction. Peace. Silence. Be muted. And through His power, the wind and the sea ceased. It gave up working. And the impression is, it returned to the great calm that it was before and became cheerful and like water can do, it was sparkling again. You see, Jesus has power over His creation, and that's power over the Sea of Galilee, but that's power over His creation in your life as well. He can bring your storms up, yes. He can elevate your struggles even to a point of crisis. He can make your despair come to a point where you can't handle it. But He can calm it. He can command it to cease. But you see, that's not even the greatest lesson here. That's not the demonstration that he cares. It is a demonstration. But Jesus isn't done. It's not the end of the lesson yet. It's not the main point of the passage. Because Jesus turns to his disciples and he says to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" You see, here's a deserved rebuke. It's why are you timid and afraid? Are you going to run at everything? Are you going to, well, go back to the explanation of the parable of the sower. Are you going to endure only for a while, but when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, are you immediately going to stumble? Do you want to give up now? You see, the question of, or the response of Jesus is, how is it that you have no faith? Luke's record of this question is, where is your faith? Jesus is looking for it, not seeing it, brothers. I taught you, I explained it to you, and now I'm looking for it and I don't see it. Why are you crying out with such a question? Yes, it's because of the storm. But why is it that you, my disciples, have no faith? You've known me, you've heard me, you've seen me, you've received the teachings. You called me teacher. Why are you so fearful? You see, Jesus is seeing straight into their hearts. He's seeing past the wind, he's seeing past the water. He's seeing past their question, and he's seeing straight into their hearts. You had ears to hear, but you did not hear. See, Jesus sees straight into our hearts. He knows the storms, he can make it go away, but he comes to us with this greatest lesson. Why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord? Why, when you come into a trial, do you ask a question? Does Jesus care? Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? You know the verse. You know the explanation. But do you believe it when the trial hits? You see, Jesus, in x-raying the disciples, Jesus, in x-raying us, doesn't x-ray to condemn. He x-rays to show. And he shows you the x-ray, as it were, so that you turn to him for help. You haven't passed this test yet. You need to come back to me for some remedial work. Because you must believe always with an assured confidence that he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall fail, faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Do you believe him? You know, as a visiting pastor, I don't know you or your lives or your situations. But this is a universal question. With whatever's going on in your life right now, do you believe God? And do you believe that he cares? Because the answer to the question, does Jesus care, is yes, he cares. He cares enough to teach you. He cares enough to unlayer your own heart in front of yourself. He's revealing your heart to you. But he also cares so much, he wants you to respond to him. You notice those in the boat responded. They feared exceedingly and said to one another, "How can this be?" Who is this? They didn't understand everything about who Jesus was. They still had to learn. But the Creator was with them, the living God. They seen just a little fraction of His glory. Who is this? And you see, instead of putting a question mark on the test that God gives us, even if we have a question mark, let's realize we need to know more about God. We need to understand more of who God is. We still have things to learn. And we ought not to doubt that just because we don't know everything, God doesn't care. No, let us be assuredly confident with our faith and let us keep learning. Because we must believe He is who He says He is. The Creator and the King of Kings is there. So don't reply with questions, but reply with faith. Lord, I believe. I don't understand everything, but I believe You know and You care. You see, Jesus doesn't require huge faith in order to receive His blessings. Already in verse 31, He described it as a mustard seed, which is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. Very small, but very real, very fruitful. But you see, the point is, even that seed is very real. If you have no faith, you should realize that even though Jesus does care, you'll never know that rest and the blessings of Jesus' care because your fear and your unbelief denies you that. The promises of the Word profit us when mixed with faith, Hebrews 4. And the Lord of faith, the Lord of glory, is calling forth faith from His disciples and from us today. He wants us to hear Him, to obey Him, to live for Him. And He's watching and He's calling and He's testing. Will My Word bear fruit in your life? Will you cast all your cares on Me because you know and believe that I care for you? You see, instead of asking, does Jesus care? Realize that in your storms of life, it's actually Jesus asking you, do you have faith? Do you believe Him when He says He cares? And this is the connection to Lord's Day 7, isn't it? Turn there for a moment again. This is a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but me also, remission of sin and everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given by God merely of grace only for the sake of Christ's merits. And what is necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised to us in the gospel. You need to believe the promises, but you need to believe God's near. You need to believe God cares. He's the one who brought you into the storm. He's very aware. This isn't strange in His eyes. Jesus Himself entered the greatest storm of Satan's temptations. Jesus Himself was assaulted with twisted scriptures, sent by one who wanted to destroy His work. Jesus knew the loneliness of sleeping disciples. Jesus knew the evil of a plotting Pharisee. The injustice of Pilate He suffered the greatest suffering. Crown of thorns, crucifixion among thieves. Storms that no other man could bear. So that you can hear and live. And today, if you're going through a storm, you might think, well, Jesus isn't in the boat with me. But He's with everyone who has even a mustard seed of faith, and He's not then beside you. He is in you. Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Do you not know how that Jesus Christ is in you? Greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. There should never be a doubt in a believer's mind that Jesus cares. Oh yes, He cares. He will preserve you from all evil. He will preserve your soul from this time forth and forevermore. Whether you're leaving or whether you're coming, whether you're crossing the boat or crossing the sea in a boat, or whether you're going to the hospital or to another counseling appointment. Will you have faith? How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said to you, who for Jesus, for refuge have fled? Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen and help thee and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That's the teaching. That's the explanation. Will you pass the test? Let's pray.